Good afternoon. Welcome to the Spiritual Involution. This is Katie, and I'm doing a rogue recording without David. It's just a small one, 10 minutes or so, but I was writing this morning, and I did quite a lengthy write-up, so I thought I would just read it, because I think it's easier to listen to things sometimes than read, and I will just leave it out here and see what happens, and, maybe stir some thoughts in you, hopefully. So here it goes. The title is God and Science, focused on the RNA vaccine. For me, I feel God in the place of melted oneness that I've experienced in meditation. It's a force existing in all things. There's no place God is not, including a virus. In nature, I see God's treasure map, a design we were meant to follow. And if we do so, well, then treasure will be found. Set before us, we can see that every single creature serves a purpose as a contributor, meaning that through its own way of survival, it also serves the whole. Even wasps, I learned the other day, serve a purpose. And they're the one creature I wasn't sure about. But it turns out they help by controlling the number of other pests we have to deal with. So thanks, wasps. So you see, even wasps have a delicate balance that they're playing with between death and life, storms and warm breezes, consumption and creation. In every single thing, there is a dance going on. And this dance is also happening in the world that exists inside your own body. This dance has captured my attention because, well, as an egocentric human, I partly don't want to partake in it. I want to avoid the dangers. I want to hoard the toilet paper. I want to take what I need to survive. So I have an internal conflict that's always going on between what I admire and what I actually do. And sometimes this makes me feel disconnected. So I try to circle back to connect deeper and to dig my roots in further. But it's a process. Some days I go forward and then some days I go back. This back and forth used to really bum me out, but I've learned to be more gentle with myself, knowing that in this frustration lies my own growth. As a collective human race, I wonder about how we, as a whole, contribute to the whole. If even the wasps serve a purpose to the greater picture, well, what do we do? Then I thought perhaps maybe our egos are actually part of the design, and we are in fact serving by pushing creation forward itself. However, we might not be pushing things forward in the way we desire. So I then wondered, is it possible to change our dance if we wanted to? If we can, as a whole, as a species, understand what I'm about to say, could we choose to become contributors in another way? Our path is not set, or is it? In my deep dives into vaccines, I took a detour for a while, looking into antimicrobial resistance. It's a hard word to say. Well, and this idea of genetic pressure that's put on things like bacteria and viruses. Honestly, I've never really thought about these small forms of life before, although they do say viruses are not actually life. But anyway, what made me think about was Alexander the Great and how he died of either malaria or typhoid fever. I'm not sure which one, they don't quite know. But anyway, the irony that the mighty and bold conqueror died from a tiny bacteria or parasite was not lost on me. I heard once that every single thing, every single life wants to survive. And if there's an obstacle in its way, it'll do anything it can to figure out how to get around that. This is true with microbes, bacteria, parasites, and viruses. The obstacles being created now, it seems, are largely from us. And I wonder, is this our intended role? We create drugs to stop these small life forms, but in doing so, we're propelling them to advance further and become stronger. Is this how we are contributing to the whole? We seem to have created a new dance, one where we must constantly create again to outdo the virus or bacteria's new and bolder form in which we force to happen. A constant push and pull that seems to have no end. We are constantly playing catch up. Do we want this? Has it already gone so far that we can never go back? Antibiotics and vaccines have been big pushes towards creating faster and bolder mutations. Most of us have heard about this with antibiotics creating something called superbugs. Vaccines have also had a similar effect. Unless total eradication of the disease happens quickly, the prolonged use of vaccines create a threat to the survival of the virus, and thus the virus itself is forced to adapt or mutate to survive. Polio right now is seeing this mutation happen, and some suspect that this is also happening with the measles as well, and is why we might be seeing more outbreaks. Time will tell. But when we speak of historical timelines, I often wonder, what will be seen in 100 years, or 1,000 years, or even 10,000 years? The creation of penicillin, for example, by Alexander Fleming in 1928 did wonders initially. I mean, it was a miracle, and this drug saved many lives in that tiny sliver of time. However, fast forward just 100 years and we now see the unintended consequences. We pushed a fast forward button on evolution, and now antimicrobial resistance is becoming a huge problem. In fact, the CDC itself now claims that this antimicrobial resistance is one of the biggest health challenges of our time. So now I'm not saying we should have never made antibiotics or vaccines. Maybe at the end of my journey I'll say this, but right now I'm just looking at the landscape. Today, we as humans are pushing the boundaries yet again with a potential vaccine that will work entirely different than the ones before. No longer will the antigen, or the virus, be introduced into your body so that you can then form the antibody response needed to become immune to the virus. With this new RNA vaccine, a messenger RNA called mRNA will code for a disease-specific antigen. Once the mRNA strand in the vaccine goes inside the body's cells, the cell will then use the genetic information to produce the antigen. This antigen is then displayed on the cell's surface, where it is recognized by the immune system. So basically, we're going into the cell and coding it like a computer. There could be some major pluses to this type of vaccine, but there could also be some really big unintended consequences. We are thwarting nature's design in a big way here, entering into territory we may not fully understand, and perhaps we were never meant to. For example, only in 2011 did we discover a part of our immune system called toll-like receptors. Toll-like receptors, or TLRs, are a class of proteins that play a key role in the innate immune system. There are two parts of our immune system, the innate and the adaptive immune system, but that's a whole different topic. The point here is that only 9 years ago, we discovered a huge, important part of our immune system. So do we really think that we understand the intricacies of how all these different parts work within the framework of the whole? I mean, just look at the world around you. See the wondrous life existing in the ground just under your little toe. All the bugs, the mycelium, everything just under your little toe. Marvel how it all seems to work so perfectly together to support the cycle of life. This purpose and complicated design is inside our bodies too, and it works with the world outside of our body. All of life is connected, and it's connected, in my opinion, for a reason. The dance is not just a simple box set. Step. It's a samba with a billion different partners. So the question I'm left with is this. Is going into our cell structures via an RNA vaccine a wise thing to do? Not for today, but for the many tomorrows to come. We are entering a whole new frontier here, people. And I wonder if we really know what we're doing. I gotta say, with history and nature being my guiding arrows on my compass, I'm leaning towards no. But I'm curious, what do you think? Thank you for listening. Have a great day.